Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark
Hey,
Arts.
Dark Arts.
We were so close.
I know. That's pretty good. That darn
It was. It was. First of all, you guys, we forgot last week. I think we were a bit distracted with trying to talk about the ongoing case. You know, I think we're both pretty passionate about that. But it is still Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Still posting that stuff in our show notes. If you or someone you know needs that information, you know, it's still there. We do still want to draw attention to that as well. So, you know, but I think last week that was just, it's amazing to me still how many people aren't aware of that case.
I know. Yeah, it is pretty insane.
Yeah, other than that, do you want to?
Go ahead. It's like,
no, I know.
It lags. And I would just like to say we're not even together. I mean, we're never really together recording lately, which is actually sad to hear.
It is.
But I was just telling my boss today, actually, we were talking and I said something about us recording remotely. And she's like, wait, you guys don't do it together. And I was like, no. And she's like, wow, you guys are actually really fancy. And I'm like, okay. Except for it makes for a lot of delays when we're talking. So there's that.
Which you can't usually count it. Every now and then I'll notice us like talking over each other. And sometimes I have to like edit one of us out.
Yeah.
Which real quick before we talk about this. Okay. So we're on the spooky side of things today, right?
Absolutely.
My mouse for my laptop has vanished. And I know this doesn't sound like a big deal. You're like, okay, you misplaced it, right? Except I was sitting on my bed Sunday night using it, typing up notes, and I went to put my laptop away, and my bag from that I have my laptop and my mouse in is right beside my bed. So I literally just slide it right there. Don't have to leave my bed. I go today to grab it to finish up a few little note things because I'm a horrible procrastinator. It's what I do.
Touché. Yeah.
Cannot find it. I've torn the bag apart. I've torn underneath my bed apart. I've looked everywhere.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did it just like you thought you put it in the bag, but it like dropped by it? Do you think your dog's got a hold of it or something, like a new toy?
If they got a hold of it, I would find pieces of it.
True, and you think they would be like bloody mouth from chewing that?
But heard it, and they're also surprisingly good about staying out of my backpack because I always just leave it beside my bed right there because I don't have anywhere to store it. No, it has vanished. And so I'm like, I hope we don't have a ton of things I have to edit out today because that's going to be real tricky without a mouse. Like, it's
doable. Want me to drop that mouse off for you?
It's like,
it's a pain in the ass, though, when you don't have it and like you don't realize how much you actually use it until you don't have it.
Well, and just using the mouse pad, I'm sorry. Who thought that was a good idea?
Nobody. Nobody should. It's the worst idea. There could have been a lot of alternatives to that, but you know.
Right. So I'm hoping I'm going to tear everything apart again when we're done. And just, I've searched so much, but I'm like, okay, maybe.
You're going to find it in like a really weird spot where you're.
I know. I asked my spirit guides. I was like, can you please just like help me out
please
here?
Please give me this mouse. Thank you.
Girls got to edit. And that's going to be tricky without a mouse. Doable.
Very much so.
It's just going to be a little more tedious.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That doesn't sound like fun at all.
Yeah. So I just had to share that. You know, I don't know what's going on there. It's vanished.
It's spooky. That's spooky.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you want to talk about our giveaway?
Yeah. If you've been listening, you're well aware, but we wanted to remind those of you just joining in or maybe missed it. We are doing a giveaway this month for one of the Birdie alarm, little handheld alarm systems that we love to promote because they're amazing. So we want you to share. We have the link. I'm going to repost it again as well. So you probably will see that on your social feed. So on Instagram and Facebook, share the post, tag someone in that post, automatically enters you in the drawing for that. So we're going to do that through the end of October, and then we'll draw and see who gets a free one. And it's cute and they're worth $30. So that's definitely worth it. I mean, and then once you pay shipping, it's like, you know, more than that. So I think it's definitely something worthwhile. We love these. We want to buy them for all of our friends and family. We think they're very important to carry with you at all times. And I feel safer just knowing I have it with me.
Well, and you know, holidays are coming up, you know,
yeah.
Makes a great gift idea. Yeah. And you have
Santa wants you to be safe.
You have the two
Even
options.
Though creeping down people's chimneys, I mean, yeah, that doesn't sound super safe. Maybe Santa needs one. We need one from Santa.
But there's the two options of the birdies. There's the regular one, which is the one that we're giving away, which is an alarm with a bright light, flashing light. But then there's the Birdie Plus that does a little bit more. It has GPS, can contact their 24/7 call center, and they can contact first responders if needed. You can share your location. You can also get a, what do you call that? The phone call. An excuse phone call.
Like a fake call. Yeah.
Yep. Like an excuse phone call. So yeah, it's a really neat idea. We're excited to be able to give one of our listeners one. So yeah, just like, share, follow. That's the other thing. You gotta be following the page.
Yep.
Too. So yeah, with that, I mean, do you have anything else really to share?
No, I think we'll just get into it because we chatted a long time last episode. So thanks if you all stuck through that.
Yes, but, yes, thank you all.
And that was a fun one. Cassie's carrying on from my part. Yes. So if you listen to my part, then this is getting into the next part of our first two-parter.
Yeah, so this week is part two of the Velissa Axhouse story. Like you said, Shannon last week talked to us about the brutal crime that took place there, where 8 people, 6 of whom were children, lost their lives. This week, as some of you may have guessed, I will be covering some of the paranormal activity that some people say still takes place there to this day. And I'm going to start by saying, like, I will post a lot. I watched quite a few different episodes of different shows. And that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about throughout this. The first thing I watched was actually, I used the Velisca's website. Mm-hmm. And they have like a little thing that says like labeled evidence. And I was hoping it was going to be people's things, but it just takes you to a YouTube playlist. But I did watch, I guess BuzzFeed has a show called Unsolved Supernatural.
Ooh,
and it was an interesting little thing. Yeah, the two guys were pretty cool. One's like, seems like he's more of a believer. The other one seems like a bit like a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched, oh gosh, let's see. I watched a lot. So I watched The Dead Files, Haunted Case Files, Destination Fear, Kindred Spirits, and finally, Ghost Adventures, which, honestly, I was surprised. That one was probably my favorite ones that I watched. It was probably one of the better ones I watched, and I saved it for last because I didn't think I was going to like it, because I've caught bits and pieces of Ghost Adventures over the year, and they just seemed very, like, dude bro and dramatic and, like, I
theatrical
didn't like that
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't really like it. I was really hoping Ghost Hunters maybe would have gone there, and if they did, I did not find that episode.
I know, I'm really surprised that they haven't, if they haven't.
Right, yeah, I googled. If someone out there knows, like, I'd still like to watch it if they did or not. I watched all of those, though, on Discovery Plus, except for the BuzzFeed one I watched on YouTube. And there's a ton of different stuff you can watch on YouTube, even that I did not go into. And actually, after I was done typing my notes, when I was trying to find, like, pictures, I came across a website, which I'll talk about at the end, but it's like, doyouseedeadpeople.org. And they had some really cool stuff. I know.
I just think of Sixth Sense immediately.
I know. Right. So they ended up having some really cool stuff at the Velisca House, too. I don't know how to share, like, EVPs and stuff like that for, like, posts. So I just shared, like, a couple of their pictures. Like, I are going to be sharing some of those, and I'll talk about that towards the end, but they will be linked as well because they have some really good EVPs.
Sweet.
I did also, there's a book I wanted to read. It had great reviews, called A Nightmare in Velisca, Investigating the Haunted Axe Murder House by Richard Istep. I didn't have time to read
it.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. There's so many books too. It's like hard to know too which ones to read. And yeah.
The reviews on this one, like, I even read some of the reviews and they seem pretty legit. So I wanted to. So I'm going to link that in the show notes too in case anyone's interested. I was going to try to listen to it on audiobook, but I didn't like the way it was narrated. So I was like, that's going to be
that
a
makes
no.
all the difference. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We also had one of our listeners write in to us some of her experiences. And towards the end, I'm going to read just what she wrote in to us about that as well. And so, you know, you guys, since Shannon already talked about it, like, we know what happened. If you watch a lot of these shows, they, of course, kind of talk about the murders and stuff. They all repeat it because if people watching it don't know, but I'm not going to go into it. We all know what happened. If you don't, go back and listen to part one. I already gave like a teeny little summary, but here we go.
Yep.
So kind of before I start talking about like the shows I watched and stuff like that, I wanted to talk about like the house a little bit and like what happened after the murders, which was honestly kind of hard to find. People did live in it afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it even sounds like it got updated to the point where it had like plumbing and electrical and stuff. So like it was lived in.
Ew, and that's so gross too. Like, I mean, you know, it makes you wonder if people didn't know, or because like, I know you don't have to technically disclose things like that. There's certain laws about certain things and years, and but this was also back in the day. Yeah. But I'm like, it's just says, oh, this is a lovely home.
I mean, some people don't care.
That's true. Some people might find that fascinating even, I guess, to live there, but.
Yeah. So in 1994, though, Martha Lynn and her husband bought the house. It sounds like what they were going to do was they were just going to try to turn it into a museum to show the historical side of like, this is what it was like for people in the 1912 and this is what they lived like. So they took out the plumbing, they took out the electrical, they restored this house to what it would have looked like in 1912.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, but it's funny because she mentions in one of the shows, listen, they interviewed her in a couple of the different things and stuff like that too. But she does talk about how like, she's like, this wasn't even our thought. Like we were reached out to by other paranormal investigators who wanted to come in and do this.
Interesting. Huh.
So now you can actually take day tours for $10. It's Tuesday through Sunday, but that ends October 31st is the last day, and it doesn't resume until spring. However, for $428, you and up to six people total, any more than that, and it's $75 a person, can stay the night in the home, but there's no electricity in the house or plumbing. But there is a barn that has those amenities, so, I mean, at least that's nice.
Creepy. I just think, like, going out in the night, like, no big deal, you know. They should have at least made it, like, a max of eight people just to be, you know, like... Eight people died there, which I guess you could technically bring eight. You would just pay more, but...
Yeah, I think at this point they just want the money. Also, it's a very small house.
Yes! Tiny! It's a
very small house. So, let's dive into the shows and the paranormal activity stuff, okay?
I prevented myself from looking up stuff because I wanted to hear things for the first time, so I'm super excited.
Okay, but real quick though, too, because... I can't remember because I know you covered the crime and I'm not going to cover that. But did you, I can't remember if you mentioned this or not, that Reverend George Kelly, who was one of the people who was actually tried, actually wrote out a detailed confession?
Yes, because they read it in court. That's what they say that they coerced him into.
And in one of the things, like, so John, and I can't think of his last name because I apparently didn't write it down in any of the times I watched the show. He's like the caretaker who lives next door. And he talks about how, like, we now know he was schizophrenic. I was like, I only heard that once. I was like, how do we know that, though?
That was 1912. I never even heard that. Yeah.
But
well, and the thing that was weird because they said he put so much detail into that confession. But then that's when we were like, okay, but also that stuff was out in the open. However... It's interesting that if he was, I mean, depending on what mental disability or something, if he had, then he could necessarily remember all that. Not saying he couldn't, but like, you just don't know the ins and outs of that. And so it is a little bit strange.
It is. I don't know. Some of these shows I watch, like some of the people were like, oh, it was totally Reverend Kelly, you know, and stuff like that. And like, people are like dead set that it is him. I don't know. So starting with the BuzzFeed show. It was probably one of the shorter ones. Like I said, it was entertaining. They didn't get a ton of stuff in there. But one thing they did that I thought was really interesting is so they had like two flashlights and they were sitting in the Stillinger room and they were asking questions like, can you turn off this light if it's yes or no? And they got some responses like that, but they were like, okay, turn off the blue flashlight. And they counted down and like it would dim and then go out and like, well, it wasn't fast enough. I was like, I'm sorry. A flashlight is responding. It's dimming, turning off. Or like sometimes it would dim like it was about to go out and then turn back on.
Yeah.
Or it like would dim and go out. And then after a while,
and that was not a clear enough sign for them.
apparently not. I was like,
what do you
that
people
is an
want?
Amazing sign. Right.
It's, I'm sorry, nobody knows the spirit world as far as what they're capable of and not capable of, so like, let's calm down.
Also, a lot of people feel that spirits have to use the energy around them in order to interact, and so that mm-hmm. could take them a bit to be able right. to build up that energy to do what you've asked them to do. So I was like, okay, you guys are getting a little nitpicky.
Yeah,
and like, calm down. So they talked about some of the different, like, the history and some of the other people who have gone into the house and their experiences, but it was weird because, like, they would, like, put up people's pictures, but they'd, like, black out their faces, like, even the families and, like, John the caretaker. So I'm like, you can find any of this.
It's all out there.
And, right. like, John has been on every single show. That man is on every single show. So
his
face is out there.
Yeah.
That one was interesting. And so I don't know, like, were they the ones that talked about okay. So then we went into, like, Dead Files. Okay. So I watched that one next, which was an interesting concept. So that one was interesting because, you have a psychic medium and then a retired New York City detective.
Okay.
And what they do when they go to investigate is she, like, he'll go during the day and talk to the people around there. Like, they don't see each other before they go to investigate. They mm-hmm. investigate separately. So he okay. goes and talks to people, researches, talks to the people in the house, and then she'll come in later and someone will take down any, like, pictures that could give her stuff, you know, and she'll do that. And they come together at the end and, like, she'll say what she found, what she felt and all these things. And then he'll kind of correlate with what he found and if it matched up and all these things. And I think that's a cool idea. And I'd be interested mm-hmm. in maybe watching a few other episodes. But for this one, I'm like, this is just such a well-known case that they were like, yes, we know coming in, but we don't know much. I'm like, I call BS on that one.
Yeah.
There were There were some specific things that I found to be kind of interesting because, so John goes through the house, right, with Steve during the day, and he talks about the experiences he's had there. And one is that in the Stillinger room, he hears, like, a growling followed by, like, a little, like, a girl's, like, kind of moan or cry, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And that people experience intense back pain, neck pain, and nausea in that room.
Interesting.
And one other thing that they kind of, like, I was like, I don't know about this one, too, was the fact that in Dead Files, they talk about how it was Sarah who was hit with the sharp end of the axe, and everywhere else, everyone's like, no, it was the husband Josiah, and everyone else was bludgeoned. So I was like, shouldn't the psychic know that?
Yeah, that's true. That's why I'm a little iffy on some of those, you know? You have to
right.
really convince
me. I believe in those things. I'm working on my own skills with that, but I'm always leery about the people who are on TV and doing it for that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, are we though?
Right.
So they do, like I said, and then I also want to mention, so The Dead Files was aired in 2012, and there's a thing John brings up in Ghost Adventures as well that was in 2010, because he talks about then how he feels like something followed him home.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, because I watched Dead Files first. So he mentions in 2012, in this Dead Files episode, that he feels like something's followed him home. And in the upstairs part, he says people have seen a woman with a kind of a distorted face. He's had the door slammed open on him and stuff like that. It's gotten to the point where, like, they don't even live upstairs anymore. So Amy doesn't know about that stuff, and she doesn't know that she's going into his home.
Okay.
So that was, you know, that I thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So when Amy goes into the house then and she's talking, first of all, she says four people did the murder. And, like, Steven, even in the end, he's like, there was four accused, but, like, no, she's like, oh, no, four did this together. And, like, we're going to have to, I'm like, that doesn't seem.
No.
And she talks
someone
about
would have
how,
talked like, by then. Like,
yeah.
There's no way.
And she also mentions how, like, in the house, one of the girls was dragged from the bed, like one of the Stillinger girls, and like one of them hid in the closet for a bit from the person. They knew him and stuff. And I'm like, that doesn't fully match up with the way they were found.
Right. And like, yeah, evidence doesn't support that necessarily. I mean, you would think yeah. there'd be some, you'd see some sort of struggle too.
Yeah.
In there. Which I know 1912 and everyone walking through the crime scene, but like.
Right. I don't know. Like I said, like there was things that she said that I just felt a little meh about, like, and they don't like actually like catch things or anything in this one. Yeah. So that one made it like, it was just her walking around talking about her feelings. And she did say in the Stillinger room, she said one of the girls likes to, is more active and she likes to play and she likes to scare people by growling at them.
Interesting.
And I'm like, okay, is that a girl? Like, is that scaring them or is that a child trying to play a prank on people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a difference.
But she then mentions an intense back pain as well. You know,
I wonder a few what that is, like what that would imply of what happened necessarily to cause that specific kind of thing.
Yeah. Hmm. And they don't really go into like why that would be a thing or anything. And she talks about seeing this woman who she thinks is Sarah in front of the house. And she says that Sarah or this woman goes from blaming herself, saying she let the wrong person in or let the wrong person stay. But again, it's like she was killed in her bed.
Right. And there was never any talk about anyone else.
Anyone staying there. Like, right. There was, like, they thought he was hidden in the attic. They found cigarette butts there and stuff like that.
Right.
But, like, nothing. And then blaming the guy. So then when she walks into the house that John stays in, which is actually the neighbor Mary who found them, it's her mm-hmm. house that oh. he lives in.
Ooh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that could be interesting. I mean, there could be stuff there I could see.
And so that's, I thought maybe it would be Mary or something, but it doesn't sound like it. So it sounds like she makes it sound, Amy, the psychic, makes it sound like the family comes over to this house because that's where they can all be together. And it sounds like maybe in the Villisca home, they're like reliving their murders a bit and stuff like that too. Like it's a repetitive, almost residual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're at this house, like she said, there's a lot of happiness and stuff like that. They can all be together and be happy. But then for some reason, when Sarah, the mom, goes upstairs, she gets really angry. And for some reason, her anger is geared towards John. And so she like blames him or something. And John had mentioned how he had a friend stay the night upstairs and he saw this woman's face hovering above him and it was kind of distorted. And Amy does mention, she goes, people have seen the woman up here. Her
and
face
was
distorted. And that's in John's
Mary's
house. Yes.
And Mary's old house, John's current
and
house.
And Mary's okay. old house, yes.
Okay.
Oh and my so gosh. Like that was weird. That was interesting, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah. But then at the end, she has a couple sketches done, like one of who she thinks the killer is. And of course, it looks like when they reveal it, it looks like Reverend Kelly. But uh-huh. again, you could have seen that on TV. And then the All other right. one shows what could be Sarah and like sitting at the edge of a bed, pointing at like a man sleeping in bed, which looks like it could be John, you know?
Bizarre.
Yeah. And so Steve had asked when he was doing his interview, he was talking to John, and he's like, if Amy tells you that you need, like, there's not, like, you have to leave the house, what are you gonna do? And he's like, well, John is like, I can't do that. He's like, it's not that easy. He goes, and I feel like I kind of like am drawn to, like, I want to solve this for them and stuff like that, you know? And he feels mm-hmm. drawn to the family. He's like, I feel genuine love for this family and stuff. And Steve also interviews the owner, Martha, and he's like, you know, if Amy comes back and is like, you have to stop these tours and all this, she's like, he's like, what are you gonna do? And she's like, I mean, I'll be receptive to it, but no, like, I'm not gonna stop.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course she's not, because I looked out from now through at least to January, they are booked for overnights, because you can look to see, and if it yeah. says on a bill, and like even during the week, it's not just like a Friday, Saturday yeah. thing.
That's a money maker right there.
Right.
At $400 a night, like, come on.
Yeah.
At a minimum, I mean.
$428.
Oh, 28, yes. And then if you have anyone extra.
Yep. And then not to mention, I mean, who knows if she's getting paid when, like, more, when, like, these shows come in to do things.
Oh,
and to interview
I'm sure they'd have
and
to pay.
Stuff like that. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, Mary's doing okay.
Martha.
That's what I'm hearing. Martha, Mary and Martha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, Martha. Yeah. Okay.
And so Amy at the end does say, like, when they're all together or whatever, she does say, she's like, you know, these spirits, because people are coming in because of their murders, like, they're reliving it and stuff like that, and it would be better. And John's like, I mean, when I do the tours, I'll start focusing more on the history of the house and the family and not really the murders and stuff. But it's like, he's like, there's not a whole lot I can do there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We know what people are there for. Like, sorry, but yeah, you could start with that and people are still going to be like, okay, so tell us about the murder. Like,
right. And just... I mean, I get it. It's sad too, but
yeah,
it was,
it's just such a big case. And I think the fact that it's just like not solved too is what makes it even eerier. I mean, even if it was solved, people would still go. But
there's so much to it. Like, how do you kill 8 people and, like, no one really wakes up? Like, there's so much to it.
It's so weird. And I think about that reverend, and he was, like, a shorter guy, too.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, not that it's not possible, but, like, I don't know. I just I don't buy it.
I don't know. I still think it's one of those two guys. You know what I mean?
Connected to the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then... one of the other ones I watched that I'm probably the least like don't watch this one, you guys, was Destination Fear. And sorry if you like the show. I just felt cheesy. It felt really scripted and over the top. Like, in the season that they were doing this, it sounds like they were like doing like an Across America road trip. They stop at the scene. He pulls out like envelopes, so they open it up. The other people like say in unison, "We're going to the Velisca house." And it's just like,
no.
Okay.
Too far.
Okay. It was too much. The one thing I will say about this one that was interesting is, like, they don't really get much or anything. And so there's 4 of them. And so what they end up doing, and this is the only time I've heard anything about this, but they're like, okay, we're actually researching 2 places. The other one is called Malvern Mansion in Malvern, Iowa, which is 40 minutes away. And the reason being is because there's a theory that the killer actually spent a couple days there, potentially even like planning the murders and stuff like that. This place is supposedly super haunted. I'm not going to go into Malvern Manor and what's potentially happening there, because I was like, okay, that's another show idea.
Yeah.
I was like,
totally.
So what they end up doing is 2 of them are going to the Velisca house, 2 of them are going to Malvern Manor, and then halfway through the night, they're swapping.
Hmm.
So, again, they don't get a ton at the house, but the one thing that they both get that was interesting is they had this, I can't remember what they called it, something with a Q. They had this device that had, like, a word bank stored in it, like, had a bunch of different words that spirits, like, you could ask them questions, and they could potentially pull from that word bank to respond to you, right?
Interesting.
It's like a different kind of spirit box type thing. So they said something like, they asked who the killer was, and they're sitting in the living room, and it even has a digital display that shows you the word as well as saying it out loud. And it said reverend.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's kind of goosebumps. Interesting.
Right? So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting and very specific. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So when they swap, because then they don't get a whole lot there. And then when they swap, the other people go in there. And first they actually go upstairs and they're sitting in the bedroom of like the little kid's bedroom. And one of the guys like talking, he's like, "Is you here? Are you here? You know, can you give us a sign?" The bed frame, which is like this metal bed frame, which granted is old and he could have moved, but like it pops out and he's not sitting, like he's not leaning against or anything, but you're like, okay, so that's weird. And they had set up this like musical recording device and that started to go off. Like this music box that was like a sensory thing.
Uh-huh.
And then that kind of went off a little bit. So ooh, that was interesting. So then they go back downstairs using the same device in the same room. They say, who was the killer? And they also got reverend.
Weird.
Yeah. So I was like, gosh, okay.
I mean, it really does make you wonder. And without like, I don't know, interviews and stuff like that, where you can see them like, body language and all that stuff, it's like hard to even know what kind of guy you're working with, you know, from just right, reading about him. So
I mean, yeah, oh, it's hard to say. We do know that he was a peeping Tom and he was a creep.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there is that potential. Hey, Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95, and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe. So, Kindred Spirits. Again, I'm not going to go into much there. It was also a little over the top and stuff. And I don't feel like they got a few things, but nothing I felt was like huge. Mm-hmm. The one thing about their show that I want to talk about is they actually interviewed a man named Buck who had stayed in the house. I think it was like a year and a half prior to this. So it would have been like 2010, 2011. His dad or stepdad and mom rented the house for him for the night for his birthday. And this is in September.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the only one because this one popped up a lot, but yes.
I bet. Yep. So Buck is in the house by himself, it sounds like, while his mom and stepdad are in the barn. And it sounds like they have like recording devices and cameras. And Buck decides to recreate the murder scene in the Stillinger room, which I don't understand the point of, but okay.
I feel like you're just pissing them off at that point too. Like,
right.
No.
So he didn't have an axe, but he had a hunting knife, just a big old knife. And he says he's like sitting on the bed, intentionally provoking the spirit. He's like calling it vulgar names. He's like, I was really antagonizing it. His mom comes over like the walkie-talkie radio and was like, the room is filling with orbs. And he says he sees the biggest orb of his life coming towards him from the closet door. And then the next thing he knows, his stepdad is standing above him, pulling the knife out of his shoulder, which stabbed his lung too. He stabbed himself with the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was taken to the hospital and he was actually helicoptered to Omaha. he was fine. It sounds like when they interviewed him, he talked about how he had a stroke shortly after and stuff too.
Yeah, because didn't he say like he didn't even remember any of it? And
so he didn't remember stabbing himself. Like I said, that he remembers seeing the orb, and the next thing he knows is seeing his stepdad pulling out the knife. Which also, just a little word of advice to our listeners: if you come across someone with something protruding from their body, Don't remove it.
Yeah. It doesn't take a genius to know that.
That's how we lost the beloved Steve Irwin. They pulled that stingray stinger from him, and if they would have left it, and I'm not trying to blame people here, it's just your shock. You think, oh my God, I have to get this out of them. But you could cause more damage. And sometimes those things are actually, once it's holding your stab or something, it's keeping it together. It's keeping it from bleeding out.
Yeah, I was gonna say most people end up bleeding out, and just like they say, don't move someone who's been hit by a car or anything in an accident, because you don't know.
You can do more damage as you're pulling something back out. That's where
I can't believe that. Oh yeah, I know.
That's where, like, if someone ever, like, if you ever get shot with a bow and arrow, don't pull it out. You have to push it back through, because it'll do more damage coming backwards than if you just shove it all the way out. Just saying. Little medical advice: if you come across someone with something protruding, unless you are a very well-trained medical professional and you have the tools you need, just call 911, please.
Yeah.
Keep the person calm. Do what you need to do. Do not
listen to Dr. Cassie. She'll tell you. That's what's up.
Just saying. Don't pull it out.
I find that very weird too. Like, what kind of person? I mean, obviously we know there's people out there that would intentionally do something like that, but like, this seems very odd that he would just, I mean, he could be lying, we know, but also I find that very odd. Dude, that would be really hard to just stab yourself purposely like that without there being, I mean, I don't know.
So
without being provoked, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm back and forth on that one a little bit. Something will come up in Ghost Adventures and I'm like, okay, maybe this is like a thing for the spirit. I will say though, conveniently, the mother, because they apparently also got a really clear EVP of someone saying, don't worry about Buck, we'll take care of him, or we've got him, or we'll get him.
Oh, I didn't read that part. Yikes.
But
also, like,
mom completely destroyed everything from that night. Because I'm sitting there thinking, if they have a video of this, so they have a video of him stabbing himself.
Right.
Which I can understand that and stuff, but like, I don't know. Like, wouldn't you want that for, like, so many reasons, like to prove that you're not crazy, or for like professionals to analyze of like, did you go into some sort of psychosis?
Yeah. I feel like, in knowing that that house is, you know, allegedly, you know, haunted and stuff, it's like, yeah, why would you not keep something like that? Yeah. You're not going to probably sit around and just watch it for fun, but like, yeah, because everyone's thinking you're crazy. And then naturally everyone's going to say, well, obviously you made it up because you got rid of the evidence. So it's like, well, you're not really helping your own case.
Yeah. So that was interesting. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Like, they interviewed him and that was kind of neat to see him telling it in his own words and stuff like that. Now for Haunted Case Files, it's just going through and like, different, like, each episode has multiple things where like people are just retalking, they do reenactments of these investigators doing this. So it was a dad daughter duo who I found their Facebook page. It's like Papa Anna, I don't know how you say it, Paranormal Investigations. I did use one of their pictures because they didn't have a lot. They talk about this picture and they show it where like they take pictures when they walked up to the house, and then in the Stillinger room, the curtain's kind of like pulled back as if someone's looking out it. And she's like, and you can clearly see the two sisters. I don't know. We would say it was clear. I tried to then find it. I was like, okay, I'm watching it. Like, maybe, but I couldn't find it on their Facebook page.
One of those things. Like, wouldn't that be all over the place if.
Yeah. But one of the other pictures that they did have on their Facebook page is this one where they're taking pictures in front of the house at night. And they're like, it's very clearly. So these are ones that are dead set that it's Reverend Kelly who killed these people, and they're like, you can see him, he's got a hat. It's like this silhouette, kind of like light silhouette of what could be a man. And I'm like, maybe, but also maybe you're taking pictures at night and maybe using flash and we're reflecting off of something.
Yes.
I'm still gonna post that one. It's intriguing.
Yeah.
You all see what you think. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's another thing, because back to the Buck thing real quick, I have a question. You said the mom called him and said that the room was filling with orbs from the video.
So she
went
over the
right?
walkie-talkie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's filling with orbs. Yeah.
So that's another thing. Why would you not keep something like that to show people, to be like, holy shit, look at this.
Yeah.
Sorry. That just made me think, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they do, like, so they show the pictures in the case, haunted case files. They also have an EVP in the Josiah and Sarah's room, where you very clearly hear a woman say, Mother of God. So you're like, okay. Like, it's clear. So they play that, and they had a few other little things, but it was nothing, you know?
Interesting.
So then that brings us to Ghost Adventures, which, like I said, I saved it for last because I thought I was going to hate it. I started out, I won't lie, in my head, I was like writing things down. I wrote down total dude bros. I didn't like, because they kept talking about how the family was hacked.
Uh-huh.
Hacked up. I'm like, first of all,
I don't
like that. It just sounds disrespectful. Also, it's misinformation. They weren't. They were bludgeoned.
Right.
Like, if you're gonna use a descriptive word, they were bludgeoned.
Use it correctly. Like, when I think of hacked up, I think of them literally cut into a bunch of little pieces. So.
Yeah. And just the way they said it, it was, I didn't like it. And then they also were like posing in front of the house with axes and stuff. Didn't like that either. I was like,
that's disrespectful. Yes, I don't like that either. That's still somebody's, like, I mean, and kids were involved, and so it's just like,
yeah, well, okay, icky. So then get this, apparently there's like a tiny little museum in Villisca, and the guy, like, they're talking, like, he has the supposed murder weapon, like the real one, and they're out handling it and stuff. They actually take it back to the house with them.
Okay, that sounds smart.
Yeah. And now, mind you, when they're in these houses, like, they get locked in, which I don't get the point, because then, like, it's not like they're not allowed to leave, because then they'll walkie-talkie and be like, hey, come unlock us and let us out. I guess maybe in a way to be like, hey, so you know no one else but us is in here, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
But I don't
still,
know.
It's like, no. But yeah.
Yeah. So they also interview other people who have, like, investigated the house, and they'll show some of their, you know, stuff that they've caught. They also interview a couple sisters who they're older at this point. Mm-hmm. I can't remember their names. I wrote them down and then I couldn't read my handwriting. but these women had lived in there when they were kids, and they didn't know when they moved in about what had happened there. And the first night they were there, they said they heard children crying and... Can you hear my dogs?
Just barely.
Okay, sorry guys, I'm not even going to worry about it this time. They're being obnoxious. If you hear dogs barking in the background, I apologize. So, anyways, so these girls talk about how they hear children crying that night and stuff like that. And of course, their parents are like, it's your imagination, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they then continue to hear these things. And they also talk about how their dad liked to, like, sharpen his own knives.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sharpen them, like, with the whetstone and stuff away from himself because, you know, safety.
Right.
But there was one time they were both in the kitchen with him when he was doing this, and they're like, it was like a force grabbed his arm and made him stab himself. But then that's all they say about it. Did he need stitches? Was it superficial? I don't know. I'm assuming he was okay.
Wow. Maybe follow up with that, people. What the heck? You can't just say that and then jump to the next thing. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. No.
Yeah. Now, for the lead dude, Zach's, and it, for me to say something nice, one of the sisters was clearly way more distraught. She didn't want to be there. The other sister talks about how the house talks to her. She gets drawn back to that, you know, whatever. This one sister's like, nah, don't like this. Don't like being here. And Zach was really kind. He was like, do you need to leave? Do you need to step out? Like, he was very sweet with her.
Yeah.
A little condescending at one point. He called her sweetie. And I'm like, first of all, gross. I hate when someone calls it. Also, she's older than you. Like,
that.
Stop.
I do hate
it.
That. I hate the word
he
honey.
Called her sweetie. And I was like, you condescending asshole.
Yeah.
But then he was nice, you know, but I was like, all right.
You're like, just don't. No.
Just don't.
Just shut up. Yeah, you're not helping.
Yeah. But Zach also talks to a man named Roy Marshall, who I think was maybe a sheriff or something at some point in the town, but he wrote a book called Villisca.
Mm-hmm.
He's a skeptic. So they bring him in and do EVP sessions with him. And Zach shows him in the very beginning. He's like, here's our digital recorder. You can see all these files are empty. Everything's empty. He was like, he's like, we will call out, like, if we hit something, we bump something, we'll denote that on here. If you feel like there's something, you know, that you heard that you're like, hey, this is this, like, say it on here. We want to be straightforward. So they're sitting in the living room, they're chatting, asking questions to the spirits and kind of talking back and forth. And after a while, they decide to go out to the barn to check what they've gotten. So they get unlocked. Roy didn't even know that they were locked in the house. I feel like that's something you should be telling people.
Yeah, because you're going to jump to the worst conclusion, too.
Yeah, because Zach radios is like, hey, can you come unlock us? And Roy's like, we've been locked in here. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like,
oh, okay.
How
no,
do you not
no.
tell him that in the beginning?
That's messed up. Yeah, why would you not?
Yeah.
And also, so if that's what you generally do when you're investigating things, like, everyone should probably be on the same page that that's a normal yes. thing you're going to do.
Right.
Just around that other.
So they go to the barn to go over the audio, and Roy's actually the one to point out. He's like, hey, there's something here. He's like, this wasn't anything when we were there. And they playing it back, and they catch it first. They could tell it says, I killed. But they can't catch the last little bit. After listening to it for a while and bringing other people, it sounds like someone out of breath saying, I killed 6 children.
Ooh, goosebumps.
Now, what they don't know while they're all in there trying to figure this out, there's no one in the house, but they still have some cameras going. Upstairs, they have a camera rolling, and it sounds like loud footprints coming up the stairs, and you see a door just slam shut.
Oh.
Yeah. So they go back into the house, and of course, they don't know about this until they review footage later.
Jeez. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. This is what I'd been waiting for. I watched all these other things, and they got little tidbits here and there. This was the shit I was waiting for, though.
Yes. Something big.
So
that's, like, clearly not any person in the house already.
Exactly. So they go back in, and they decide to try and communicate with the spirit box. So that's where it, like, uses radio frequencies. It goes fast, so, you know, they can pick stuff mm-hmm. up or whatever. And they ask, are you scared of us? And you hear, no, come up. Then they say, what is your name? And a little girl's voice comes over and says, Lena.
Ooh.
And so then they're like, okay, is Lena here with us? And then you hear the girl's voice say again, wanna play?
So okay, then they're that's asking, beyond creepy. Nope. Yeah,
so then they're asking for a little bit and they say, what's your name? And then we get a boy's voice saying, Paul. Paul was one of the boys who was killed. He was the 5-year-old Moore son who was killed. Mm-hmm. And so they get a little bit. So then they go upstairs and they're doing a little bit more with, like, the spirit box and EVPs and stuff. And they're, like, asking for the murderer's name. And they get Andy, who was also another suspect who later went on to murder, I think it was his grandma and his mom, or his mom and his grandma, yeah. or something, with the axe.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he was, like, at work talking about, like, killing people with axes and stuff like that there, too. So then they got, that.
Weird.
Again, this is where I think Zach does something stupid. He takes the axe into the attic and, like, props it up in some of the boards and lays underneath it. And he's like, if you want to kill again, like, drop this on me. And I was like, why would you
cool.
do that?
You're an idiot.
First of all, trains go by and that house is old and probably
yes!
shakes from that. Like,
so when it falls and you die, no one's going to feel bad. And it's clearly not because of, well,
yeah,
either that or the ghost is saying, like, you're a dumbass. Fine. If
right.
you want me to. But,
right.
Okay.
So they do also get, like, so there's another guy named Nick who's sitting outside in the hallway and, like, recording with a camcorder and, like, has a digital recorder and stuff. And he gets a few things and it's, like, something called Zach a sinner. It says you're gonna spill your blood or you're gonna give your blood. Which was interesting. But then as Nick is sitting in the hallway, all of a sudden you hear him say, I just heard a toy move in the children's bedroom. Well, when they play back the digital recording, right before that happened, you could hear a voice say, Herman's gonna get you. And Herman was one of the other little boys who was
Gosh,
killed there.
Yes. Oh.
And I'm like, is this like Herman's gonna, like a fun little thing, like, oh, Herman's
yes.
gonna get you, like running
or is
out,
it
or
like
Herman's like
gonna
sinister.
Get you. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
I was
insane.
Like, that could be a kid wanting to play. Or...
I'm just going to say no to all of that.
Yeah.
No, no.
So,
oh
that
my
one,
gosh.
I would say, despite some dude bro-ery and stuff,
yes,
if you're going to watch any of them, that would be the one to watch. Because, like, I've even left some of the stuff out that they got because, like, it was interesting, but, like, those were the big things.
Yeah.
But there's still some other things that they catch.
Did you read somewhere, I don't know where I read it, something about, like, a ball rolling back and forth or something?
No, I talked to you about this, and I will get into that.
Okay, okay, yes, okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
You just wait.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, jumping ahead there.
Okay, you're fine. Okay, so now I'm going to read for you guys what Sarah wrote into us. I'm just reading it exactly how she wrote it. So, like, just so you know. So it's titled My Trips to the Villisca House. She said, "Hey, wonderful ladies, I just wanted to tell you about the times I have been to the Villisca Axe Murder House. Just wanted to say I love your podcast. By the way, if you guys go, I will go with you. I have been dying to go again. I was stoked that you mentioned Morbid Podcast because that is my second favorite podcast. And in parentheses, second to you guys, of course." Of course, I left that in because I wanted to just, who doesn't like a little praise? Thank you, Sarah.
I'll take it. Yes, thanks, Sarah.
So, okay. I have actually been to the house twice. When I was a younger teen, about maybe 14-ish, my mom, sister, brother, and a neighbor went on a daytime tour. First, I just want to say, walking around in the house where a heinous murder happened, there's just a severe heaviness you feel. It feels so still and heavy. A complete sadness overcame me. I have no other words to describe it. On the other hand, I am also pretty sure that this was the beginning of my love for anything and everything spooky. Not the murder part of it, but visiting some place that is haunted and the adrenaline it gives you. I remember walking through the house and my younger brother just trying to scare the hell out of us at every turn. He was a dork. But there was one thing that happened that my sister and I always talk about when the Villisca house gets brought up in any conversation. Sorry, I lost my spot for a second. So while sitting on one of the children's beds in the upstairs room, my sister and I were sitting on the edge of the bed with our feet on the ground. She was sitting closer to the pillow and I was sitting closer to the foot of the bed. So there was some space between us. My mom, brother, and neighbor were in the room looking around. My sister and I felt something plop on the bed between us. We both looked at each other at the same time and asked, "Did you feel that?" We just kind of sat there waiting for something else to happen. While the rest of our small group were standing there staring in our direction, they swore they could see an indentation in the bed between us. We then felt whatever it was lift off whatever was there, and it was just gone. We were scared, but was more of a peaceful scare, if that makes sense. So we felt that maybe that was one of the children. The next time I went was years later, in my 20s. A friend I have known for 30 years brought two friends, and I brought my sister and a friend I have known since elementary school. This was an overnight stay. A great thing about these stays is you get to see the cemetery where they are buried and the museum. We also got to watch a short video about the family and the murder. Not sure if they do this anymore, but I hope they do. It gives you a little more insight on what happened. Now, I do believe in spirits, but I'm also a debunker. So when little things happen and there is 100% plausible reason, I am saying it out loud. So after we get settled for the night in our house, we toured it all together. The attic gave me complete shivers, made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and made me feel uneasy and nauseous. After our own little tour, just to get the feel and vibe of the house, we started walking around and actually doing some investigating. My friend for 30 was holding a thermometer, and whenever we walked into a room that had a 2 to 3 degree difference, I had to remind her that it was winter and that side of the house was where the very cold wind was blowing. I said, "I will believe in a 6 to 10 degree difference, though." So I'm sure they were annoyed with me, but I was just trying to keep it real. So as the night went on, it was pretty quiet. Around 3 a.m., we decided to sit in the area that seemed to be a living room. My friend for 30 and her two friends were sitting on the couch. My sister, other friend, and I were sitting on the floor about 5 to 6 feet across from them. We were tired because it was 3 a.m., and we were just talking about basically to stay awake while popping a second round of no-dos. I hope you remember that. Not sure if they even still make it. I took way too much of that as a senior one time and drank a giant Mountain Dew and was so jittery. It was the worst.
I remember I'd always feel so sick when I would take them because it's like your body doesn't like want them and you're fighting it.
I don't know if they make them anymore. I think they were like, hey, these are like heart attacks in pill form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, those of us that were sitting on the floor felt and heard something very large and heavy hit the floor behind us. It startled us. We got up to investigate, looked everywhere, even outside. We couldn't find anything that would make a loud crash like that or make the floor underneath us rumble and shake. Confused, we all sat back down, taking our previous spots, and were talking about what just happened. We were all a little freaked out. About 5 minutes later, it happened again. Sounded like it had more force behind it and felt like it was closer behind us. So close to us three on the floor, we felt a whoosh go down our backs. We instantly screamed and turned around, stumbling as we were trying to stand up. We must have all had the exact same feeling come over us. Not just fear, but an intense feeling we had to go or something bad was about to happen. Now, I'm not one to think that spirits can hurt you, but the three of us felt that whoosh on our backs. We talked about our feelings, and all three of us at least felt an instant urge to leave, to get out as fast as we could. It was a crazy, forced feeling. So the three of us got into my car, while the other friend and her friends took their time and went to the barn to go to the bathroom. Not sure if they felt the same, but whatever made us three feel that way scared the complete shit out of us. Hoped you liked the story. Have a wonderful week. So, and that's something I've heard a lot of people can't spend the entire night at the house. They'll feel like that's something I've seen in other things of people saying they feel like this need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing with the ball, I had, gosh, like 10, 12 years ago, the opportunity to go on a day tour to the Villisca house. My cousin invited me last minute,
mm-hmm.
but I was getting a tattoo, so I didn't go.
Priorities.
You know. Mm. And I unfortunately don't talk to this cousin anymore, but they came back with videos of like closet doors opening and shutting on their own. And one of the videos was his friend was sitting in the children's room and he had like a little bouncy ball and he'd roll it across the floor and you'd see it like pause and stop as if you stopped the ball to grab it and rolled it back then. And it rolled back with the same amount of force.
Jeez.
So it's not even like it went up a slope and like came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, where it's a ball, it can roll, but when
yes.
it's.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. And so that was interesting. So like, I don't even know if my cousin would have still had those videos or not. I wish, you know, that was something that I could post to our stuff. Cause that was really interesting.
Yeah.
But that's where back to the, I see dead people or do you see dead people.org that they're prism investigators or something like that. They have this picture that I am going to post. That's really interesting. That almost looks like three children standing together.
Ugh. I feel goosebumps.
And they have a bunch of EVPs and stuff that you can go onto their site and listen to. So that was really interesting. But, you know, that's the hauntings at the Villisca house. Some people have mentioned, like, getting scratched. It looks like they have a board there that they'll put up pictures of, like, what things people have shown. Villisca does have an Instagram as well, which I found this picture that I'm going to share too from them. They don't have a ton actually, but it's there. Mm-hmm. But there's a picture of the front of the house and it does look like a ton of orbs just surrounding the house.
I'm looking, I'm going to follow that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's the, you know, the haunting of the Villisca house, you guys.
Oh, I love that one so much. That's just creepy. But I feel like, yeah, you hear stories like that and it makes you wonder. And the fact that it wasn't solved is just so eerie.
I know. And like I said, I want to go and be like, okay, are these things real? Are people making shit up? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Cause I could see it being a little bit of both.
Yes.
But yeah. It's easier to want to go with the fact that someone's making it up, but some of this, I mean, yeah, it's hard.
Interesting to go and do.
I know. So guys, I really want to go. We're gonna need to go sometime.
So still, you can still send us, even if you've gone and you're like, oh, I should have sent it, still send it to us, you know, because we still want to do a listener episode eventually. So heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. send us any spooky stories, Villisca, true crime that you're close to, you know, send us all the things. We just want to chat with you. We want to hear your stories that are similar to the things we talk about as well.
Yes.
Any of your experiences that have been going on.
Yeah. We love all of the things.
We do.
It's fun. And for those of you who are into that kind of stuff, you obviously like hearing about it too. So
exactly.
Let's just share with each other.
Yeah. So remember, guys, we're on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. Did I say TikTok? Twitter? I said Twitter.
Twitter, that's the one.
Yep. Yeah.
sweet dream.
Also our giveaway and Patreon. And if you're a Patreon member, you're automatically entered into the giveaway. And if you like and share and follow both of things, so you can be entered up to 3 times for the birdie if you so choose.
Which is an amazing way to do it.
Yes.
And you should. Yeah. For any information on any of the things about the birdie, the Patreon, anything, just send us a message.
Just hit us up. Hit us up.
Yeah.
It's spooky season. I need to go and watch The Patient, the final episode of The Patient. If you guys haven't been watching that, highly recommend. Steve Carell is phenomenal in it.
Oh, he needs to win some award for this. I finished it. I'm dying for Cassie to watch it so we can discuss it because I have a lot
of thoughts.
When
we're done... I should edit first. So I'm going to edit
first. Just go watch it because I need to discuss it with someone who watches it because I'm like, I have a lot of things that I'm like, well, but
anyway. I know. I need to edit. But also I'm super excited because so I read a couple weeks ago These Fleeting Shadows by Kate Alice Marshall. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with it. Love it. So I went on Book Outlet and bought 3 other books of hers, and they showed up yesterday, and I'm like, okay. I don't know which one to read first now.
That's so exciting. I love that. I haven't even had time to read anything lately, and I'm dying because I have a lot of ones that need to be read. So
yeah,
I'm hoping to jump on that bandwagon again soon.
I know, and I have a bunch of spooky things I want to go in and watch. I think there's a show called 28 Days Haunted.
I did see that on Netflix.
It looks like it's maybe like Big Brother but haunted house.
Yeah. Yesterday I saw it on there and I watched the trailer thing of it and I was like, maybe, yeah, we'll see.
I won't lie. I'm probably going to check it out, but there's like several other things that they're going to, the next 3 episodes of Unsolved Mystery drop today when we're recording this, which is Tuesday.
Sure did.
The 25th.
I got kind of bored with one of them today and I had to put it on pause, but I need to go back and finish it. Some of them are more interesting than others for different
reasons.
Yeah. Oh,
that's how it always is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that when I watched the 3rd episode that I was caught up then when that first came out.
Yeah.
I just finished it. And then when you mentioned it, I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh yeah.
I thought it all came out.
I know. I saw that they were going to do it like a few at a time. So I was like, I'm not in a hurry to watch them then because I know
I didn't realize that. But I think they've started dropping like Guillermo del Toro's haunted cabinet or cat. I don't know. He's got some spooky cabinet series thing going on Netflix where they're dropping stuff from now until Halloween.
Yes, I did see that as well. And I was like,
so there's a few things on there I want to check. There's too much for me to read and do and take care of that like adulting and shows I want to watch, and I don't have enough time in the day.
I know. I hear you, girl. I hear you. It's
rough. It's rough.
It is rough. Big, you know.
But we hope you guys enjoy your spooky season. Yes. Have a happy Halloween, because our next episode will come out on November 2nd.
Oh, yeah. We'll just recap all the things and, you know, send us anything fun that happens for Halloween.
Yeah.
Or pictures of your costumes and stuff. That's fun, too.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah. Send us pictures of your costumes. That would be great.
Heck yeah. We'll make a little post and then share away.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.